Welcome back to the Bitcoin Nova. I have Dr. Satoshi here with me today, an MD who lives by Bitcoin's principles. Don't forget to like the video and subscribe to my channel so you don't miss any future episodes. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I've been watching your podcast for a while now, and it's really cool to actually be a guest on it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for the support. And I'm so excited to have you here today with me. And I know that you were doing a podcast too, but did you recently start having guests?
Yeah. Yeah. That's I started a podcast on my channel, and I've had 4 episodes so far. And actually you're one of the main reasons that inspired me to do it.
Wow. That's so cool to hear.
Yeah. Cause it's not something that I ever thought I would ever do. Seeing people like you do it, I'm like, why not?
And how have you liked it, talking to people? Actually, it's nice to share your thoughts about Bitcoin and how you see, you know, healthcare and how things intersect. But just talking to people is it's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's really cool. I learned something from everybody, and I realized that it's not just doing a podcast. It's really strengthening the Bitcoin network. It's about nodes in the Bitcoin network connecting with each other. And it's so much more than just doing a podcast. And that's what the Bitcoin network is all about. It's about nodes interacting with each other.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too, because I had posted recently a old clip that my husband had recorded of us talking, me and my friends, and we were discussing Bitcoin back in 2015. And I thought, why didn't we just look up Bitcoin or look up some videos or learn about it when we were asking these questions? But there wasn't so much information available back then. But now, you know, the more that we're doing what we're doing and just talking with each other and putting the content out there, there's more for people to find, and it'll help reach all different kinds of people. It's really important to connect with more people that way.
Yeah, that's what I started to realize too, is that people need to hear this from regular people. So it's actually a positive thing to just be a regular person spreading the message. You don't have to be some crazy finance person or someone that's into crypto. Just being a regular person and explaining what Bitcoin means to you is probably more powerful than some guru talking about it.
Yeah, no, I agree, because it could actually resonate with people that don't speak the lingo and don't understand all these terms, and it gets a little too technical for them. And this way it could actually make a difference and actually impact somebody. So I do want to hear about your journey. You are a doctor. You've been a doctor for 15 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to know about how you discovered Bitcoin and what made you realize, was it because of how you saw medicine changing over the years and how you saw profit, you know, companies wanting to profit? What was it that specifically made you, or when did you understand Bitcoin?
Right. So are we recording now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. So yeah, I got into Bitcoin. I first bought Bitcoin in 2017. And that was when it had the crazy FOMO times, end of 2017, when it just went parabolic, basically. And I basically just bought in to the FOMO. I had no idea what it was and had no idea what I was holding. And then when it crashed after that, I was just like, okay, that was just a bad investment. And then I didn't think twice about it until 2020, and it came back again. And then that's when I took a deeper look into it. And that also combined with what happened during the pandemic to the stock market really kind of opened my eyes to monetary policy and how manipulated it is and how it's not rational at all. And so when I saw that, it gave me the motivation and the inspiration to research Bitcoin, and it gave me the spark. And once I had that spark and started looking into it more, and then I just kept going deeper and deeper. And that was 2020. So the last 5 years has just been this journey of going deeper and deeper and learning more and more things. And what I've realized is that it's not just about Bitcoin. It's so much deeper. Bitcoin is just really the tip of the iceberg that shows you that things are not what they appear to be. So it was pretty disillusioning. And I think a lot of people go through the same experience, where once you realize that a lot of the things that you thought were true are not true, and that a lot of your life was based on these lies and these illusions. And Bitcoin is often the first thing that opens people's eyes to this idea. It's really just the tip of the iceberg. And that's how it was for me. So when I realized that the monetary system was so manipulated, it really made me question a lot of other things in my life. Mm-hmm. And it just really changed the way that I see the world. It changed the lens through which I see things. And I work as a doctor. I've been doing that for about 15 years, and I've always been going down this path. And I basically represent someone who just followed the fiat system and played by the rules and tried to do everything right. And it's worked out well. I've lived a good life, and I've been happy and content. But it was it's a fiat life. And now seeing what I know now about the fiat world and the fiat system, it's not real. It's not authentic. And even though it's good on the surface, and I have no complaints, and I had no complaints, when you see that there's this other level that you can get to, and there's this other level of authenticity, and when you're aligned with the reality of things and not illusions, it's so much more fulfilling for your soul. And you realize that your life can be so much deeper than what a fiat world can offer.
Yeah. And you, something that you had said, I think in one of your podcasts was that, I watched a little bit of it, but I want to see more because I love your show. Yeah, I think it's incredible. So keep going. It's so good. And what you're doing is super important. But one thing that you said that makes a lot of sense is, you know, you work so hard to get where you are, to become a doctor, to succeed. And then you're so busy in that job that your time is limited. And then you also have to figure out the way that you're making this money. You want to make sure that you're preserving it, right? You're growing it, you're investing it. And that's what you said something about. Now you can't just focus on, you know, your career. You have to try to also figure out how to be a financial planner and figure out what to do with your money. It forces people to try to spend this time to figure out what to do. And it feels like you're doing the wrong thing all the time. Like you're always trying to make this money grow, but you realize it doesn't get you as far because of inflation. So you're using up all this time trying to figure out a game that is rigged against you, you know? So once you realize that Bitcoin is something that can't be manipulated, it's literally the only thing that can't be manipulated. That's why you start to look into all these other things and start to realize the lies all around you and, you know, companies and profits and what you were saying about medicine. So it's something that once you find Bitcoin, you can save in it. We don't think of it as investing, but you don't have to waste your time trying to, and your time is valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a huge benefit to finding out about Bitcoin, is how it frees up your time. Because as someone who's not in the financial industry and who doesn't know how the markets work intricately, it's very intimidating, number one, to try and figure out where to put your money. And that is such an important concept, is where to put your money, because it's not just where to put your money, it's where you're putting your life force. Money essentially represents your energy. It represents your life force. So you put all these hours in at work and you sacrifice your life force. And it's a huge thing knowing where to be able to store it safely over time. You want to be able to access that all that life force you put in, you want to be able to access it later. And if it's in this leaky bucket, if it's in the melting ice cube, then your life force is basically melting away. And that is just such a sad concept. And
it takes away your time that you spent to have meaning, because it is a valuable thing. It is a scarce thing, the time you spend working, and you want it to mean something. And instead you just feel like it's getting depleted and you're it's losing its meaning. You're like, why did I do this all these years? Not to say that you don't like being a doctor. It's a rewarding career, but it's like doing something that helps people is rewarding. So you don't regret that. It's just, it just makes it feel like you're just struggling more and more over time when you should be doing better. So it's really upside down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that loss of meaning is a really important concept too, because that's part of the awakening that I had with this. I call it the Bitcoin awakening. So it's the first part of the awakening is figuring out how the fiat money system works and how rigged the system is and how inflation is theft. And essentially we're living in this system of debt-based slavery, essentially. It's like modern day slavery. So that's the first part of the awakening. But then once you start thinking in those terms, then it spills over into all other aspects of your life. And so for me, working in medicine as a doctor, it spilled into how I think about my job. And when I started to see how the medical industry is not what it appears to be on the surface, how it really is just about profits at the end of the day. It's not about the well-being of the patient. And you see how the whole system is just designed to keep people dependent. It's not about fixing the root cause. It's just about giving band-aid solutions that benefit the pharmaceutical industry. So the incentives are just misaligned throughout the entire industry, the insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the food industry. So getting back to your point about the meaning, I realized that I'm essentially just a pawn in this fiat machine. Whereas before I thought of myself as a doctor and a healer and I'm helping people, I realized after I had this Bitcoin awakening that I'm really just a cog in the machine and just doing what these fiat overlords want me to do. I'm actually part of the system because I wasn't questioning it. When patients would come in, I would essentially just give them the medication that the pharmaceutical industry taught my medical school to teach me to give to the patients. And there was I was never taught about root cause healing or natural remedies. And that's very disillusioning. It takes away all of the meaning from my life path because I sacrificed so much time studying and going to residency and medical school. And it's looking back, it's very disillusioning to know that all of that schooling was essentially training me and indoctrinating me to just be a part of this fiat system.
Real quick, I want to talk about multi-sig Bitcoin custody. The Bitcoin Advisor helps you understand what it is and why it's important. Scan my code for more info or click the link in the comments. Wearing Satoshis is a signal to the outside world. Michael Saylor says, just buy Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the strategy. Use my link below for 10% off your Satoshis. That's powerful, like what you said about you realize I was this doctor, you know, but you feel like you're a pawn and it just flips your world again upside down. How did you feel emotionally when you found that out and going to work every day? Did you start changing the way you would talk to patients, like taking responsibility for your life? And same thing with money. It's like you don't have to trust somebody to tell you what's right to do. You could take your own responsibility. It's really eye-opening to think that food is medicine and you can heal yourself and your body needs to be active. But there's so many people that when you think about the difference between a doctor or a surgeon, like a spinal surgeon and a physical therapist, you know, they do try to get you to do alternative treatments before just having spinal surgery. But if somebody has issues with their spine, you do need to exercise. You need to build those muscles. You have to like take care of your body. And the last resort should be, you know, surgery, you know, but a lot of the times people, they're like, oh, I'm going to go have my hip surgery. It's just a quick fix and it still doesn't heal you. It's not like you're going to be a brand new person to start running around. Like you really need to just do that from the beginning and not have to resort to these drastic, you know, surgeries, you know? So, but yeah, just you feeling like you are a pawn is just powerful. You must have felt, I don't know, crushed. Like, how did it feel like going through that?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It felt like my soul was being crushed. Every day I was going to work, I couldn't believe I had been doing this for 15 years and wasn't even questioning it. That was actually the part that was very concerning to me, was that I didn't see it before. I couldn't believe that I couldn't see it. After I saw it, it was so clear. And it just made me think, in what other areas of my life am I doing the same thing?
Right.
And I've just basically reanalyzed everything in my life. And my entire life has changed after seeing what I've seen and having this Bitcoin awakening. So yeah, when I first started having these thoughts, it was very soul crushing. And I was having thoughts about, I need to leave this system. I need to stop being a doctor. I need to create this parallel system and get out. And the first step is money. It's the financial aspect. And so I did move my money out of the fiat system and into the Bitcoin system. And that's a great first step. But I realized it needs to go deeper than that. You need to take your life force out of the fiat system and put it into the Bitcoin system. And so that's what I'm working on doing. And that's what I've done by starting Dr. Satoshi. It's taking that all the energy I was putting into the fiat system as a doctor and moving it into the Bitcoin system. And I've always been a hustler and a grinder, and I've always worked a lot. So I was working a ton of shifts in the hospital and just dedicating my whole life force to being a doctor and into the fiat system. But once I had these realizations, I essentially went part-time and I'm putting a lot more of my energy into things that are outside of the fiat world, outside of
medicine. Is it really hard to see your patients and then not start wanting to talk about Bitcoin when you're around them? It's like you got to keep it, you know, stay on topic and not start talking about Bitcoin. But I'm sure you see people and you're like, hey, do you know about this thing? It could help wake you up for a lot of different reasons.
Yes. So as this awakening has progressed through different stages, the first stage is, you just want to talk to everyone about Bitcoin. But then I feel like I'm entering a new stage where I want to talk about Bitcoin and spread the message. But I've realized that you'll be more, way more effective at that by simply embodying the principles of Bitcoin. Instead of talking about Bitcoin and trying to convince people, if you embody the principles, that is 10 times more powerful. And you can talk about Bitcoin without talking about Bitcoin. The principles of Bitcoin are so deep and profound that you can talk about things like sovereignty and taking control of your life. And when you talk in those terms, which are very deeply Bitcoin terms, issues or topics like sovereignty, but if you don't say Bitcoin and you just talk about taking control of your life and not outsourcing your health or your beliefs, that resonates with people more. And then right. When people see you living like that, then it inspires them and makes them want to start asking questions about the shift that you've had in your life. And so I think that's what we can do as Bitcoiners. We can do a better job of this, is really realizing that it's not just about telling people about Bitcoin. It's about embodying the principles. There's this concept called self-Bitcoinization, which Noah Kaufman developed it, or he came up with the idea. He's also another doctor who's big in the Bitcoin space, but he talks about self-Bitcoinization, which is essentially applying the principles of Bitcoin to your own life and allowing yourself to become a better person before we enter this world of hyper-Bitcoinization. And I think a lot of us Bitcoiners, we want to get there as quickly as we can, and we want the world to see what we see, and we want the world to catch up. But when we think in those terms, we forget that it really needs to start with us. It starts on a personal level. Let Bitcoin change you and let it change your life, and that energy will spread, and that energy will spread into the world, and then hyper-Bitcoinization it's going to be inevitable either way. But it's, if you understand the process of how it starts with you first, and you don't need to change the world, it gave me more inner peace knowing that it's a personal process, and I don't need to waste any time wondering when it's going to happen or when people are going to wake up. All I can do is really take care of myself and improve myself. And I'm so thankful for Bitcoin, because my whole life I've really been into personal development and personal transformation. I've always been into books like Tony Robbins books. And recently I got into Joe Dispenza, which is kind of bridging the spiritual with science with spirituality.
I have it somewhere up here.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a Joe Dispenza conference. It was life-changing.
Really?
He's tapped into a different frequency, a different energy. And that's what Bitcoin really is. It's tapped into this different frequency that's been hidden from us. The fiat world doesn't want us exposed to the frequency of Bitcoin, which is basically the frequency of truth. It resonates at this frequency. And I think that's why it has such a profound effect on people. And it profoundly affects people's lives, because it's resonating at this frequency of truth, and that it's so powerful. And when you're in its presence, and when you first buy Bitcoin, that's kind of your first touch point. You kind of feel the effects of that truth, that resonation of truth. And it's so powerful. And I think people can't really explain it, or they don't understand it in those terms. But at least for me, that's what it did for me. It kind of aligned me with truth. And then I start resonating with that frequency of truth. And all these false layers just start to shed off, because they can't survive when you're resonating at this frequency of truth.
That's cool. I love that. I love thinking about it that way.
Yeah.
It's like you're healing from the inside, like this light is coming out of you, and it's like all those dead layers of skin, you're shedding all of that. It reminds me also of how the shift that's happening now between people like you and me and so many others that are, you know, embodying this this Bitcoin, you know, what did you call it?
Ethos?
Yes, this Bitcoin ethos. Just because it feels like early on when you heard about Bitcoin from somebody, it just seemed like this random crazy person that was trying to get you to get something that they thought was good. But, and yes, they may have understood it at that early time, but I feel like a lot of people that got into it early really didn't understand what they had. They just kind of thought, oh, you should get this investment, it might be something. But I don't think people in the early days really realized the way that it could shift you spiritually and to shift your beliefs about lies in the world and how you're manipulated. So these days, more people are realizing what Bitcoin is, how it's not just something that you're, you know, trading or just something that's like a gimmick. It's a tool to save your time and your energy. So there's more people that are embodying this at this time. So it does attract more people to it, because you see people walking around all the time and in real life, and they're just look sad, or they look defeated, or they just look like, you know, they can't do things they want to do because things are too expensive. And it just feels like people look drained. And then when you see a Bitcoiner where you just feel unaffected by these things,
yeah,
it draws your energy, draws people so that it could, you know, affect others. You know, it's about the principles of Bitcoin. It's about not falling for these lies and corporate incentives. And that's really what it comes down to, I think, is the incentive. When it comes to money, they're not incentivized to teach you what money really is, because the people, you know, who educate you on money, the people who, you know, are closest to the money printer, they're not incentivized to teach this in schools and teach what really is happening with inflation. Just like pharmaceutical companies aren't incentivized to keep you healthy or to show you the way to truly be healthy. It's the quick fix. It's everything's all about convenience and fast. Bitcoin isn't fast. Bitcoin is slow, and it takes time, and it's proof of work, and it's not, you know, it doesn't just get made out of thin air. It needs something backing it, energy. So it's, yeah, those principles, they wake you up in so many different ways. It's crazy. So it's nice to see that people are waking up to this more. And also, the more that people are affected in a negative way from the fiat system, it's a lot easier for them to want to look for an answer, versus before, when people were doing okay. Pre-COVID times were a different time, and people weren't looking for answers. It just didn't seem like they needed it or weren't concerned about inflation the same way, even though it was already happening before COVID. It's not like it just started mm-hmm. during COVID. But the more negativity or the more theft that's happened with our dollars, our fiat currency, it's a lot more people to take a look and to see what Bitcoin is when they hear about it, instead of just shrugging it off.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're saying relates to this Michael Saylor quote where he says Bitcoin is on a need to know basis. So if you're benefiting from the fiat system and you don't have any issues and your life is going well, you have no reason to look into Bitcoin. And people who have reason to look into Bitcoin will find it. Like people in other countries who are unbanked or going through hyper-Bitcoinization or going through hyperinflation, they have very good reasons to find Bitcoin. And that's how Michael Saylor found it. His company was essentially dying. He needed to figure out where to put his money, which is essentially how I got into it too. I wanted to know the best place to put my money without it melting away. And that's how a lot of people come to find Bitcoin. So yeah, it's on this need to know basis. And as society is devolving, we're essentially at the end of the fourth turning. Have you heard of the concept of fourth turning?
I have, yes.
Yeah. So basically the institutions start to crumble, trust in the institutions starts to drop, the corruption, which once was more under the table, becomes more overt. And the hallmark of the fourth turning is the money starting to break. And so we're seeing all of those things. So we're essentially, it looks like, either in the middle or the end of the fourth turning. And typically when that happens, society starts to fall apart. It typically leads to a lot of violence and unrest. But with Bitcoin, hopefully we can avoid a lot of that violence and we can just shift onto this Bitcoin system. And it's so much better. It's so much more than just money. When we're at the end of the fourth turning like this, it becomes a spiritual issue. It's about saving humanity. It's about saving the soul of humanity. And that's what really draws me to Bitcoin is it's not the money aspect at all. It's the spiritual aspect and this lifeline for humanity to upshift, for civilization to upshift and get off this bad path, this downward trajectory, and onto a more hopeful trajectory.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that people don't realize when they talk about this fourth turning. So this has happened before in history where these cycles have happened, where, you know, civilizations collapse and currencies collapse, and then a new form of power takes over where they control the world. And, you know, it's a new form of currency that comes up. So this time around, we do have Bitcoin. We do have an answer. We have an escape from that control of power, where it's decentralized, where there isn't somebody that's able to change the rules of the game every time they feel like it. So this fourth turning is a huge shift because it's different. This time is different. So there wasn't another option before. You just had to go with whatever the powers that be decided, you know, and now we don't have to choose whichever version of, you know, power they want to take control of you with. It could be just to get on the Bitcoin boat and just escape that trap. It's crazy to think about that being the case, like that it actually is different this time.
Yeah. And one thing that that really made me start to see that Bitcoin is operating at a different frequency and is so much bigger than just money is at a local Bitcoin meetup, there was a woman who came over from the spiritual community, and she had said that the leader of her spiritual community, I think it was some kind of yoga center, had talked about Bitcoin and said that it was going to be crucial for people in the spiritual community to learn about Bitcoin, because it was going to be play a crucial role in this civilizational shift that we're undergoing right now. So that really stuck with me, seeing this woman from the spiritual community at a Bitcoin meetup, because that really just exemplifies that Bitcoin is not just about money. It's about something so much bigger. It's so inspiring to see people start to see that, to wake up to it. Because it's been frustrating to see how Bitcoin has been so misunderstood and basically just trashed in the media. But once you see through the illusion, you realize why it's been trashed, because it threatens the powers that be. They can see how powerful Bitcoin is, and they don't, they're terrified of it.
Yeah.
Most people get their information from the media. We all get our information from the media. Even wherever we get our information, it's filtered, and a lot of it is we're only told what they want us to see. And that's what has shifted in society with the internet, is that people now have access to more information than they had before, which has allowed people to start waking up. But we still don't have access to all of the information. So the powers that be can still control what we see to a large extent. And that's why a lot of people have negative opinions on Bitcoin. That's another key component of the Bitcoin awakening, is starting to realize how much of our thoughts are not our own. A lot of our thoughts are just the result of cultural conditioning, manipulated media, and a lot of the beauty of the Bitcoin awakening is starting to take back control of your own thoughts and being very careful about what you allow into your brain, and questioning a lot of the things that you previously would have just accepted and not questioned.
Yeah.
And once people start questioning and meditating and starting to think for themselves and start feeling what resonates at a soul level, as opposed to just what we're told, then that's a huge part of this global awakening as well.
Also, do you think that it's something that I think is, you become fearless in a way, so because you don't feel scared like you used to, you find your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And something that you had said was Bitcoin is the signal. In a world of noise, we're the signal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that Bitcoin gives you strength to speak up and to share your thoughts and ideas, because, you know, after all the time we've spent studying it and understanding it and now speaking to more people that understand it and see it as a spiritual awakening, like you actually realize things that you thought were true or not, but you're able to speak about it. You know, before, I think you would have these thoughts and you were alone, and you were, you know, even people on X that were believing in Bitcoin, you had these thoughts and you would share them, but it was kind of like people weren't coming together. But now with this combination of your YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, these Bitcoin communities on X that are all interacting and supporting each other, it's a growing network of people that are actually looking at each other as friends and actually wanting to get to know each other and share their story and speak about it. So it's like it gives you, like, people that have never spoken on podcasts before have been on my show, I'm sure, same with you. It's not just people who speak all the time. It's people that have never done it before. And I had never done that. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would start a podcast, but I did. And it's because I understand Bitcoin and I want to talk about it. It gives you strength, you know? So I think that people that, again, never spoke are speaking now. And it's that signal that's now maybe cutting through some of that. You know, the more that we do this, the more content will be out there and the more people might find it. So it's just, it's nice that it gives people this, I don't know, this fearless feeling where they can do what they want and share their truth.
Yeah. For me, and I think for a lot of people, Bitcoin touched me deep in my soul, and it awoke something that was dead before, that the fiat system had killed. Bitcoin was able to shake it and wake it up. And I feel more invigorated than I ever have in my life because of Bitcoin, because it woke me up. And that's why I started this channel. And that's why a lot of other people have done similar things. You just feel compelled to get involved in this Bitcoin movement and join the network and be a node. That's one of the main principles of Bitcoin, is decentralization. We're all individual nodes, but we're all one. And that's a concept that also is very spiritual, because that's how consciousness works. We're all one. And when we lose sight of that and we think that we're individuals that need to fight each other, then that is what leads to the situation that we're in now. And as we're all fighting each other, it leads to the 1% on top being able to just sit back and watch us fight each other. But our strength comes when the 99% join forces, really when 100% join forces, and we're decentralized and we realize that we're individual and we all have our individual strengths, but we're all one. We all come from one. That's how consciousness works. That's how the world should work. And that's what we're building slowly by doing this podcast together. We're strengthening that node network and contributing to that overall energy and that feeling of we're all one.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we do podcast.
That, yeah. Seeing that there's so many ways that Bitcoin has parallels or reminds you of nature, but if it's like consciousness in that way, that's mm-hmm. why you are so amazed, because the way that this network works is a lot like how our bodies work and how energy works in the world.
Yeah.
And it's very, I don't know, it's so such a great feeling to discover that and to understand that and see how many things Bitcoin has in common with how nature works. And it's not, I don't know, I just think that the fiat system reminds me of this quote that I like to always say is, it's all for one, like all for the 1%, and then Bitcoin is one for all. So it's like one network for all people. And yes, we are all part of that. We're all part of that network, but we all benefit the whole network by doing what we're doing. You know, we're not, you know, it's not because I started a podcast or you started a podcast that we're, you know, taking away from other people that have podcasts. Somebody asked me that once before. They're like, you know, because you started it, do other people not like that you're doing it because, you know, you're competing? It's like, no, this system doesn't work that way. The right. system enjoys when more people are joining and talking and, you know, sharing their truth. And it's not a competition. It's growing together. So it's completely different than what people think life is normally like. You know, they think it is competition. They think it's every man for himself, like all for one. You have to win while other people lose. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. And what you said about how Bitcoin is aligned with the natural laws, that is such a powerful concept. And that is one of the things that I appreciate about Bitcoin the most, because the fiat world is not aligned with natural law at all. There's so much distortion and manipulation. And we're so accustomed to living in that world of distortion that it actually dysregulates our nervous system. And we can't distinguish what's real and what's true. And that has such a deleterious effect on our soul and our nervous system. But when you feel that alignment with natural law, and by that, I mean, if you just look at the proof of work consensus mechanism, proof of work basically is aligned with natural law in that you only get something when you put something in. So you can't get something for nothing. That's just a basic principle. But in the fiat system, people are getting something for nothing with the money printing. And that just leads to all kinds of distortion that has huge downstream effects. But when all you do is just change it so that people can't get something for nothing, you have to put energy in order to get something out, you return to natural law, and everything downstream from that just auto-corrects. And when you live in alignment with that natural law, your soul feels it on a soul level, on a nervous system level. That's kind of what you were alluding to, is that Bitcoiners have this inner peace where you can't really explain it. You don't probably consciously know exactly why you feel that inner peace, but that's why, is because you're living in alignment with natural law. And it's such a peaceful place to be.
I love hearing that from you, because you are a doctor. And if people came to you for health reasons, it would almost be a reason to talk to them about Bitcoin, because it's once you awaken to this and once you realize truth and you are at peace, you know, that whole idea of cortisol and how it can, you know, stress can cause all sorts of illnesses in your body. And when you're, you know, you could have so everything comes from stress, you know, but when you find that peace, you know, it can, like you said, auto-corrects everything afterwards, you know, so it can maybe heal you then, right? I mean, in that way, from a doctor's point of view, you're saying that reducing that stress and being free can help you. What do you think? How does that impact? Just say, like, where does that go into the rest of your life? Like, how does that?
This is what gets me so excited about Bitcoin. So what we're talking about is healing. And in terms of your nervous system and on a biological level with cortisol. And that's also related to healing on a soul level too. Because if your body's flooded with cortisol, you're essentially in survival mode. And if you're in survival mode, you can never get to these higher levels. It gets back to something called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Are you familiar with that?
Is it like, you know, food and shelter is number one?
Yeah. So at the base of the triangle is your basic survival needs, food and shelter. And if you are not able to meet those needs, you will never be able to rise up. So once you have your basic food and shelter and safety needs, then you rise up and you start to be able to think about and devote energy to relationships and love and belonging. And then at the highest part of the triangle is self-actualization. And that's basically becoming your best self, becoming in alignment with your true self. And in a fiat world, most people can never ascend above the basic safety and shelter because you're working so hard just to be able to pay rent, just to be able to pay food. So in that state, your cortisol levels are always up and you're never able to move up that hierarchy. And if you never move up that hierarchy, then you're basically just stuck in survival mode, like an animal. But as humans, our goal is to be able to self-actualize and get in alignment with our soul's purpose and self-actualize. And in a fiat system, most people just, they can't. It's impossible. Yeah. From a doctor's perspective, there's actually biological things that you can test and see how the fiat world is destructive to people's health. I'm sure if you did studies in a fiat world, you would see the cortisol levels way higher. In a Bitcoin world, which we'll be in the future, the cortisol levels, if you look across the population, would absolutely be lower. And based on that alone, people are going to be able to rise that Maslow's hierarchy, and more people are going to self-actualize. And as more people self-actualize, humanity gets healed, and humanity is going to be able to do exponentially more than what we do now. If most people are not self-actualized now and are just stuck surviving, imagine what our society is going to be like when it's just filled with people who are self-actualized and living in alignment with their soul's purpose. I don't even think we can even imagine just how the sky's the limit, really, for the potential for humanity.
Wow, that's all aligning with, at the same time, it's all aligning with AI. Just to imagine that future is insane. Yeah. You talking to me about that, just, I feel like my show is called the Bitcoin Nova because you have this supernova, you know, mind-blowing realization. But I think you just gave me the supernova this time because just thinking about it from a doctor's standpoint, from healing, from stress causing so many issues in your life, like illnesses, you know, you could actually heal yourself if you take that part out and can actually rise up through that hierarchy, which is just mind blowing. That's why I love hearing about this idea, the principles of Bitcoin and how it connects to nature, but hearing from you, from a doctor, hearing about, you know, yeah, we could all do research and think we know things, but just hearing it from you, who you've done the proof of work, you've gone to school, you know about the human body, obviously, and you could actually just like talk about it that way and actually get people to realize that, you know, stress literally can kill you, or, you know, if you can eliminate that stress, you can rise up. Mm-hmm. So that's incredible. And I can't even realize or imagine that many people being that awake. You know, it was very rare. I think before, when you heard about awakening, you would think about, I don't know, a shaman or somebody who is a Buddhist monk. Those are the only people that would be enlightened, you know? So would you consider awakening, or like that highest level of the hierarchy, the same as enlightenment?
I think they're very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think so too. I would think that just means you're above, you know, the stress, the fear, like you're in control, you know, maybe you're not. Cause most of the time, I think in the fiat system, you feel like you have zero control. You're following along with what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, when people think about even wars in the world or the funding of these wars, and you think, well, that's just the way the world works, we can't do anything about it. You have a loss of control. You have no way that you think you could impact this situation. So you have to just live in that world. But when you find Bitcoin, you realize that, you know, the fiat system funds these wars and people benefit from funding wars because they profit from them. So when you opt out and just convert your money to Bitcoin and live on a Bitcoin standard, you're opting out of that system that contributes to bloodshed and pain and destruction. So you can do something by getting out of it, you know? So there's, it's just something that allows you to do.
Yeah. This is also another interesting medical corollary. There's this concept that's been studied called having an internal locus of control versus an external locus of control. And you can tell whether someone is operating from one or the other by asking them a series of questions. And then they measure health outcomes for these two different categories. And the health differences are overwhelming. People with an internal locus of control, which essentially means people who think that their actions can actually make a difference in their life, versus external locus of control, where you just feel hopeless and you feel like no matter what you do, it's not going to make any difference, which is essentially how most people live in the fiat system. But if you look at the health outcomes between those two groups, they're tremendously better in the group with the internal locus of control. They live longer. They have lower rates of all these chronic conditions. That just ties back exactly to what we're talking about. Yeah, the fiat system.
So is that a mental state? Because when you have control, when you feel like that, it's just psychological. You feel that way, but then Bitcoin gives you the way that you can actually have control, where sometimes you might feel that way in your mind, but it's almost like I wonder if it could affect people that way if they have that belief, but people that understand Bitcoin, it automatically comes with it. It's like part of the territory where it gives you that belief, even though you may have not had it before. So that's interesting to think, like, the kind of people that have that way of thinking, that they just feel like they can, is it just a positive mindset, or what causes that to happen in people?
Well, for one, there's this huge connection between the mind and the body that people are not aware of, and they often underestimate. But there's not a dichotomy between mind and body. They are so intricately connected. You have the ability with your thoughts to change your biology. By thinking certain thoughts, you intuitively know this. By thinking certain thoughts, you can get stressed out. So that is essentially increasing the cortisol in your body just by thinking a thought. So your mind is connected to your body. Because by thinking a thought, you're spiking your cortisol, which increases the risk of you having medical conditions. And if you just think about the opposite of that, if you just think positive thoughts, you're essentially activating proteins and gene expression to create proteins that lead to healing. So it's not a, is it mind or body thing? It's both. They're intricately connected. And there's all kinds of studies that show this connection. And in medicine, there's this thing called the placebo effect, which is this incredibly fascinating concept where, for instance, you take a group with depression and you give one group an actual antidepressant and you give another group a pill, but it's just a sugar pill. So it doesn't have any medication in it. And oftentimes that placebo, which is the sugar pill, has the exact same effects as the group who got the antidepressant. And so the power of positive thinking is incredible. And I am always hoping that they're going to do more studies on this and it's going to become more well-known. But I think that the medical industry does not want people to know just how powerful our thoughts are and how we can really heal ourselves just by our thoughts alone.
Yeah. So it's like this, the saying, you are what you eat. It's also, you are what you think.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But also people are, sometimes it's this vicious cycle that you feel like you can't get off that gerbil wheel when you're in this fiat system, because the fiat system causes a lot of that hopelessness and causes so much despair. And, you know, you don't see a way out. You think you're just on this wheel and you can't get off of it. So it's hard to have positive thoughts for people when they're stuck on the fiat hamster wheel.
Yeah.
So just for most people, I think most people, that's probably why there was a lower rate of people who would get to that self-actualization. And you couldn't imagine that before, maybe as much as you can now with there being an actual answer. Because before, those few people that would maybe make it off that hamster wheel and think positive could change their life and actually get to enlightenment. But most people, when they're in that fight or flight, or they're just worried all the time or hopeless, you know, it's hard to get off of that mm-hmm. ride. You know, you're stuck in there. You don't see the way out. But that's what makes Bitcoin so powerful, is that people have an exit. They have a way out of it so that they can then have those thoughts and feelings and actually change their life.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Having that exit is such a beautiful thing that's the beauty of Bitcoin, is that not only does it shine a light on all of the darkness and expose it, but there's this concept that whatever the light touches turns to light. So as Bitcoin is shining the light on all of this stuff that we see, all these negative things and all this darkness, it not only is just exposing it, but it's transforming it in the process. So it's turning this darkness into light. Not only does it shine the light and transform, but it also offers an alternative path at the same time. So it's just this incredible gift for humanity to not only be able to see the flaws, but also to basically shine light on this alternative path. And we can all go down that alternative path right now. Right now, we don't have to wait for hyper-Bitcoinization. You can move your money out of the fiat system and just store it in Bitcoin. You don't have to quit your fiat job. And I know it's not really practical to quit your fiat job. Although I think that is the goal, is to move over and somehow find a way to use your gifts in a Bitcoin world. For right now, we're in this transition period. So for most people, it makes sense to keep your fiat job, but you can still move whatever money you make in the fiat world, immediately move that into Bitcoin, and you're already walking in this other path. And you'll start to feel it right away. As soon as someone holds Bitcoin, it changes you.
Yeah. And I think that's why when we, like our groups on X, when we discuss going to work, we like to call it fiat mining, because we're... Yeah. You know, very many people Bitcoin mine these days, unless you have just a lottery miner. But people do still go to work, and you can buy Bitcoin with that money. So that's like you're mining fiat, and then you're, you know, moving it over to Bitcoin. Whatever part of your money that you can save, you know, that you don't need for daily expenses, I guess that's the way a lot of people do it. It's just a cool way to think about it. You're using that time, and you're still mining Bitcoin technically, because you're just converting it to Bitcoin afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, and getting back to what you asked earlier about how I feel being in my fiat job and infusing Bitcoin principles into my job, that is how I've made peace with having to stay in my fiat job for now, is realizing that I can inject these Bitcoin principles into my interactions with patients. I can empower them. I can make them feel like they have more control than they think they do. And I can educate them better than I could before, when I was stuck in the system and didn't see how it worked. Now I can help them navigate the pitfalls of the system and allow them to have more health sovereignty. Health sovereignty is a very important concept that I think is going to be very a lot bigger as people get into Bitcoin more, because Bitcoin is about financial sovereignty, but health sovereignty is this parallel movement where you're taking back control of your health, and you're realizing that health is so important. Because if you don't have your health, you can't enjoy your Bitcoin. And in order to have your health, you need to play an active role in that. You can't outsource it. In the same way that most people are still outsourcing their money to the fiat system, most people are outsourcing their health to the medical system. And once you see how the medical system works, you realize that that is not a good idea. You do not want to outsource your health to the medical system. You need to take control of your health. You need to do research and figure out how to keep yourself healthy. Because if you're depending on the medical system, then it's not going to work out well.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, first of all, I like how you said, inject them with the Bitcoin principles. I like that you said that as a doctor. That was pretty cool. And then also there are two things I want to bring up, actually. So the first part is how in Europe, you know, there people always talk about, not Europe, just the rest of the world, let's say. America's always, I mean, I live here, but we think that we have the best medical system in the world. But the rest of the world doesn't have the best medical system, but they have better food. They don't have all the corporate greed and all the chemicals in their food. When you go to another country, you'll see that there's real ingredients on the label, and they're not filled with dyes and seed oils and all these things that are preservatives that are making us sick, because corporate greed, because they want to extend shelf life, all these things causes you to need the medical system more, because you're pumped full of all this fake ingredients in the food. So that's part one, if you want to touch on that. But part two is, I had a guest called Venturer Thomas Hamilton. He was probably toward the beginning of my YouTubing journey. But something that you might think is interesting, what he said was, you know, how we dollar cost average in Bitcoin, we just invest, you know, slowly over time, just consistency. He likes the idea of DCAing health. Mm-hmm. So the idea of, oh, let's say you can't run, but if you can run for a dog for 10 seconds one day, then the next day you do 20 seconds, then, you know, so every day you just move up a little bit, you're compounding that. He calls it the power of one, but compounding it in health instead of just Bitcoin. So I love that idea, because it seems like a big task when you say, I'm going to get healthy, just like somebody thinks it's crazy to say, okay, I'm going to go just convert everything to Bitcoin tomorrow, because they're unsure of it at first. They don't know if they could do it, different things. But same thing with your health. If you just take it one day at a time and just, you know, compound it, you know, it can make a huge impact in your health long term, just like compounding or growing your Bitcoin makes an impact in your freedom, you know, long term. Yeah. So I like those two ideas. So if you want to touch on any of those things.
Yeah, thank you. I love those questions. I could expand on those two things for a bit. But Yeah, I mentioned before that I've always been into self-help and personal transformation. And one of my favorite books is this book called The Slight Edge. And it essentially talks about that concept that you were talking about, in that every day there's so many decisions that we make. And if you take, for example, the decision of whether to eat something healthy versus eat something that's easy and probably tastes better, it's such a small decision, and it's so easy to make the right decision. You could easily get yourself to eat the healthy thing, but it's also so easy to convince yourself, what's the harm in eating this unhealthy thing? And so the concept behind the slight edge is that because you don't feel the effect of that choice immediately afterwards, oftentimes we fall back and we take the easy choice, of which is the wrong choice, the unhealthy choice, because we don't see the effect immediately. But the thing is that if you extrapolate those decisions out over time, that you end up with such a huge disparity over time. So if you look 1 second out, there's no change. And that's how we rationalize making the bad choice. But if you zoom out, you see this huge disparity, that those lines diverge. And if you look out 5 years, that decision you made there stacks, so that it's huge. The huge disparity is in the long term. So if you can think about that when you're making these small decisions and use that as motivation to make the right decision, then that'll put you on this upward path where you're stacking habits, in the same way that you're stacking like DCA and Bitcoin every day. You're stacking your habits. And it's directly in line with that Bitcoin principle, because if you just stack a little bit of Bitcoin every day, that will have tremendous positive effects for the future. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like, oh, I'm just putting $10 here. What's the difference? Might as well just buy this coffee. But if you switch that mindset to that long term, then you stack Bitcoin, you stack habits, and that leads to tremendous effects in the long term.
You can like use those ideas so back and forth with each other. It's so cool, because you know, stacking the habits is, you know, like again, that one bad habit, but over time you're worse off, you know, you're unhealthy. But when you think about it just with Bitcoin, also making that bad decision to buy that one thing that means nothing to you in 3 months, you know, it's like eating that piece of junk food or eating something that's not going to benefit you. It makes you realize how wasteful you are with your money and how you don't really need this thing, when you understand how Bitcoin can grow in the next 10 years even and really help you and save you and grow over time to give you your time back. So it's like making a bad food decision when you buy something you don't need.
Yeah.
Want versus need thing. Same thing with the food. It's like, do you want it or do you need it? Or are you thirsty or are you really hungry? You know, so kind of taking those ideas to Bitcoin, you start to realize that you don't need as much stuff as you thought you needed, because Bitcoin can actually give you time back. And that's more important, and give you,
yeah,
you know, freedom to feel better, because you're, you know, when you feel free, you feel healthy. You feel less of that cortisol.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially every Bitcoiner that I've met has described this same feeling of becoming less materialistic. Before you discover Bitcoin, most people fall into the trap of wanting to get the nice car, get the big house or the watch. And it's just unconscious. You don't realize that has just been programmed into you to have this materialistic mindset. But that is one of the most beautiful things about Bitcoin, is reprogramming your mind to make you less materialistic. And I've seen that in myself, where things that I thought I wanted, or that I was spending all this time working to get, I realized that, why do I even want those things? It was just programmed into me to want those things. None of those things matter. The only thing that matters is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is all that matters. So it's to the point where I don't want to own a house in the future. Like I have a condo now, and I always thought I would work hard and get a house. But at this point, there's no point in owning a house when you can own Bitcoin. Just nothing compares to Bitcoin.
Especially because the houses keep rising so fast. And it's not because people always think the house is valued at so much money, but it's because it takes more dollars to buy a house, because there's so many more in circulation. Your house isn't worth more, your dollar's worth less. You're just trying to fight against the dollars you're earning with a high interest rate to buy a house that now you're paying taxes on, all this other stuff. You know, it doesn't make sense when you could buy something that's going to save you time in the future. You could live wherever you want. You could just rent. You know, it's like owning this will benefit you more than having a home at this point. Unless you bought a home years ago, buying a house now, it's like trying to catch up with that is crazy to think about.
Yeah. If you think about it just from a logical financial perspective, getting a house makes no sense. It makes way more sense to get Bitcoin. But if you think about it also from a spiritual sense, it gets back to one of my favorite movies, Fight Club. One of the quotes is, the things you own end up owning you. And it's so deep. We don't even take a step back and think about that. But
right.
I need to go back and watch that movie because it's been a while. But I think there's a lot of prophetic truths in that movie. We basically are living in this consumerist society, and we work so hard to own things, but then those things actually end up being chains on our life. Mm-hmm. And they actually take away from your freedom. Bitcoin shows you what freedom really is. It's not what we thought it was.
Well, it's also because sometimes the more things you're buying, the more you're filling up your house with stuff, people end up looking around and feeling like they're sort of like hoarders in a way. And you're like, oh my God, I have to declutter. Everyone's thinking about decluttering, but they're like, I don't have time to declutter. When am I ever going to do this? So you're looking around and it's giving you anxiety looking at a house filled with stuff. And when you actually do take the time to clear out a lot of that stuff, you feel at peace. Like they say, like a clean room is a clean mind. You feel better when your space is clean. You know, exactly. All this stuff that you're accumulating is just stressing you out at the same time. You're just looking at all of it, and it's not something that makes you happy after. Now I have to spend time to get rid of the things I just bought. So it's just not beneficial. It's actually just getting stuff you need and less things, but that are something you use instead of just being wasteful. But that Fight Club, something, what did you say that quote was?
The things that you own end up owning you.
Yeah. That's very true. That's what it is, because now it's you're imprisoned by that. It's definitely a great quote. So you just have, it does make you feel like most Bitcoiners do get that way. It actually makes you realize that you don't need all this stuff in your life. That's such a great point.
Yeah. And when you realize that, then you realize you don't need to keep working in this hamster wheel as much, because we were spending so much time in that hamster wheel to get these things. But if we no longer need these things, that frees up time. So now you can potentially not work so much, or you can continue to work the same amount, but then just use your money for different things that will allow you to self-actualize instead of just live a consumer lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different if you were to actually buy something that you're like, okay, this makes me happy and I'm not stressed out now having to pay for it. But most people end up buying all this stuff and thinking that it's going to either make them happy or impress people in their life to show them, like, look how well I'm doing because I have these things. Or maybe it does make you happy, but then you also now have either a loan on a car or a loan on, or like a mortgage on a house. And now you have all this added pressure and stress on you that you feel like, I wish I didn't do this, even though I thought it made me happy in the moment. You're right. It's like a chain. You feel shackled to it now. And you're like, I was happy when it was brand new, like a year ago. And then now I'm like, okay, it's just a car. I had seen someone make a post one time saying, should I buy the new car straight out or should I lease the car? And then I was just like, well, how bad is your car right now? Can you just fix it? Is it that bad? I'm like, if you spend $2,000 on the car, you could just keep driving what you're driving. You don't have to show off for anybody. That's a true Bitcoiner, not having to, you know, unless you can literally totally afford it without feeling pressure and you're still able to, you know, save your money in Bitcoin without stretching yourself thin, you know. But if you're not able to afford those things, it's better to just get Bitcoin and have a happy life later.
Yeah. I love hearing from Bitcoiners that they're driving old cars because they're truly embodying the Bitcoin ethos and living in alignment with what Bitcoin represents. There's this quote that if your car is newer than Bitcoin, then you're not stacking hard enough.
Yeah. Oh, good. I think finance. Yeah. Oh, my car is a little bit newer than Bitcoin. But luckily, I have a mechanic who's in my uncle who's a mechanic. So he helps out with repairs and it's really nice. But yeah, no, I think as long as my car is running and I'm not afraid to drive it, it's not causing me to be afraid driving my kids around it. It's fine. It's what do I need just to say I have a new one? It doesn't matter. And one day I will, you know, one day when I can quit my fiat job and you can quit your fiat job and we're living off our Bitcoin, there could come a time where you say, okay, I'm going to get something, but it doesn't have to be, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be something that you have to show off with. It doesn't have to be right. The top notch. Like I'm not going to go get a Lamborghini because I want to show that I have a Lamborghini. Who cares? I just want something safe. And really none of that stuff matters anymore. It's crazy how it changes you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so crazy.
So do you wear your glasses and your tie at your job?
I sometimes wear the tie, but I don't wear the glasses. The glasses would be a little bit much.
I think it'd be kind of like, look how much I care about Bitcoin that I'm wearing these without saying it, you know? So I just wonder if you're like that free about it, where you just don't care what people think, but they might think it's a little much.
It's interesting. I created this Dr. Satoshi persona, and the lines between my Dr. Satoshi persona and my who I am in real life have been getting closer and closer. The lines have been getting blurred. It's a pretty awesome. Cool thing. As I've created this Dr. Satoshi persona, I've essentially become him more in my real life, which is actually a really wild thing to think about.
I love that. You have a pin on too, don't you? Like a Bitcoin pin?
Yeah, I've got a Bitcoin pin here, Bitcoin pin here.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Bitcoin just means so much to me. Bitcoin's everything. And it's the most important thing happening in the world right now. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine what else I would be spending my time on than the most important movement in the history of humanity, potentially. Because you mentioned earlier about how we're at this insane crossroads with Bitcoin and AI. Things actually have the potential to go in the wrong direction too. And I recently interviewed one of my Bitcoin idols named Ione Appelberg, who is essentially a Bitcoin philosopher. He's also a medical doctor in Sweden, but he's one of the greatest Bitcoin thinkers that I think is pretty underrated. But he started talking about this concept about the dangers of hyper-Bitcoinization. Because a lot of us Bitcoiners, we see how powerful Bitcoin is and we just assume hyper-Bitcoinization is going to happen and everything's going to get better. It's going to fix the money, fix the world. But that's not a guarantee. Things could potentially take a dark path as well. And it's up to us. It's up to us Bitcoiners to steer it in the right direction and to be aware that it's not guaranteed and to be aware of how powerful our role is. We're essentially soldiers in this battle. And people like you and me and other people who see how powerful it is, it's our duty, it's our obligation to spread this message and do everything we can to make sure that Bitcoin goes on this path that we know it's capable of going on.
And see, one thing that I think is so, one idea I have about AI that's kind of Bitcoin related is I think that decentralization will be an important role in AI, because when you think about all these AI companies, you know, It can be scary when one giant company owns the AI and it does everything in the world. Decentralization becomes more of an important theme in the future. I think people would rather trust AI system that is decentralized, that maybe how there's layers on top of Bitcoin being built. If these AIs could plug into as a layer to show that there isn't one company or corporation owning the, you know, the software and controlling what we see and manipulating us, if it's open source in a way where people can all have a part in training this AI and I don't know, in a way, if it's decentralized, I think it's healthier and better. And I think people would choose decentralization over a corporation.
100%. Yeah. So that's what we see with Bitcoin. It opens our eyes up to the dangers of centralization, and decentralized is always going to be better. And if we had our way and if we had our say, AI would be perfectly decentralized. But that's, I think, the scary part is that it's not decentralized. And the way that AI is being programmed now could have profound consequences for the future. I'm not fully up to date on AI, but I see it from the bigger picture. And I know that there's this huge controversy between Elon Musk and Larry Page from Google about the direction of AI and how we're programming it. But yeah, I hope that there's people out there that have more of an expertise in AI and are helping guide these conversations, because I think the decisions that are being made now are probably incredibly important for the future of humanity.
Right. Yeah, that's so much to think about. It's just really very important for the future of humanity. And I think it's something that we have to be careful about, and the people building it have to be very careful. But it's also at this point where they better step up their game and be careful faster, because with the S-curve adoption of technologies and the way that things grow exponentially, how we feel like we're at this hyper-Bitcoinization moment, fourth turning fiat collapse in the world, it just seems like things are about to lift off. You know, so at the same time as Bitcoin's lifting off, so will AI. And they better make sure that they're doing the best they can before it'll happen quickly. It'll happen very quickly. So hopefully, yeah, we can only hope for the best, but I do have faith, or I have hope, that whatever role decentralization plays will kind of shape the future of a lot of these technologies. So that's my hope. And I just stay optimistic about that.
Yeah. I'm an eternal optimist as well. So there's no other option for me but to be optimistic, but carefully optimistic.
Yes. A little paranoid always. That's how I feel. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been an incredible conversation. And I love hearing from a doctor and hearing from your you know, perspective. It's been very eye-opening. I had many supernova moments. Like, my mind was exploding.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It's truly been an honor. Yeah, I'd love to have you on my show sometime too.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Well, take care. Have a great day.
Take care.
Thank you for watching, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes.